Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us and for spending some time with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. The phone number is 800-531-3815. Dr. William Dunkelberg is our guest, and our good friend Bill is the a professor at Temple University. He's also the chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business. He's an original member of our Brain Trust and an old friend. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. It's always nice to be back.
It's good to have you back, and thank you for your time. Also, thank you for what you do with your with this survey that you do every month. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about what you've been doing?
Well, NFIB has about, I don't keep close track, but over 500,000 member firms anyway. About, say, one out of every 10 or 12 employers in the United States is a member of NFIB. And each month we take a random sample of that membership and ask them how things are going. And we use that to find out how the economy is moving along or not moving, as the case may be, and to see how small businesses are doing in the economic environment out there. We've done it since 1973.
Yeah, so is this your, you haven't already celebrated your 30th year of this, have you? Do we need to have a party or something?
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. We probably should have. Maybe we had.
We still got time.
Yeah, we still have time, actually. The 73 fourth quarter, so it'd be the October survey.
So we got to do that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hey, listen, let's do it in September, because I'm going to, that's when the SBA is celebrating Small Business Week.
Sounds like a good idea.
We need to do that. We need to work on that. I'll see what I can do about that. Okay. As we all know, the economy's been pretty tough. There was an article. Did you read Zuckerman's article in the U.S. News and World Report a week or so ago about America's critical test? That was a pretty depressing article. I've got it in front of me. I'll try to find some of the key points. But he was just identifying a whole lot of bad news that we've got in the marketplace out there.
Yeah,
and
I was grading exams.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that we got a lot of problems in the marketplace right now, don't we?
Yeah, in our report, we noted that actually the economy has been attacked by terrorists now for quite a while. We've had weather terrorists who have been very damaging and very debilitating to certain parts of the country. We've had the financial terrorists, of course, who've taken tens of billions of market value away from us with all the scandals. We got the SARS terrorists. We've got the terrorists, of course, with 9-1-1. I mean, we've just had one shock after the other that slows us down anyway, even if it doesn't stop us.
In your memory of history, we got to go back beyond our lifetime, Bill. But in your memory of history, do you remember any time when a marketplace, when an economy has been hit by as many disparate issues that were really ugly, like as we have in the last 3 years?
No, I can't. I agree with you. I think it's really we've been pummeled. And it's, no knockout blows, but, after a while, softens you up a little bit.
Well, and the thing is if you had a list of these things 3.5 years ago and you said, okay, are any of these knockout blows, you would have had to have said, well, you know what, maybe one or two of them are, but certainly if all of these happen in a 36-month period, surely that's a knockout blow. But it hasn't been yet, has it?
Not yet. We're moving ahead still, and I think the economy will continue to grow. I think it's not going to grow as fast as many of my colleagues are expecting for the second half, but we see continued growth, but we're struggling. A lot of our resources have been diverted. I have trouble with that. A lot of our resources have been diverted, of course, to things like, standing around airports, and that's too bad. But we don't have any choice in this environment today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what What are your people telling you? For the next 35, 40 seconds, give us a little summary of what your people are telling us.
Well, May, the March survey was a dreary survey and a little worrisome. Things really kind of fell off a small cliff anyway. But April, everything came back, and that was nice. We had a 29-point increase in the percent of firms who think the economy will be better 6 months from now. So that's up to a net of 36% of all the owners. So net means we subtracted the percent who think it'll get worse, and that's a very strong number. Along with that, the expectation for real sales really improved, which was very good also. And, of course, since we now expect the economy and sales to be better, then hiring plans jumped 7 or 8 points, and capital spending plans went up, and inventory plans went up, and that was all pretty much good news. So it wasn't, it didn't mean a hot economy. The index rose to 100, which is our base in 1986.
And well done in that period of time. And also consumer confidence jumped about 14 points in the month of April. And so that was good news, too. So we got some good news, folks. We're going to talk about the good and the bad right after these messages. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we've got some folks joining us from the Red Cross to talk to us about a blood program that they're working on that I want them to be able to tell you about so you can participate if possible. That's a very worthy cause. And then after that, Lois Geller will join us, and we're going to talk about making sure we take care of our customers. William Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg, professor of economics, former dean of the economics division of Department of Temple, and now professor at the Temple. He's also a chief economist with the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. We're talking about the survey that he conducts once a month with small business owners. You know, problems we've got is that we're benchmarking a lot of our current performance, or lack of which, against a time that was two things. It was very, very high. The last 5 years of the 90s were just incredible years. But we now know that a lot of that incredible performance was bogus. And so we really need to go back somehow. Somebody, I don't know if anybody's ever done this, Bill. We really need to go back and restate the performance of the 90s in terms of earnings, not the ability to raise capital, and see what those numbers are, and then benchmark where we are against those numbers. Does that make sense?
Well, that would give us a little bit better picture about how well we're doing. Say 2000 was, for example, on the employment numbers, 2000 was an all-time record for us. We employed 64.5% of the population age 16 and over, which was a huge high number.
Essentially, we had full employment, didn't we?
And we did. We had, back in those days, 35% of our members said they had a job opening, at least one job opening, they couldn't fill.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't fill it. We were that fully employed.
But those people's salaries, many of them were being paid, and the raises were being pushed by a mania rather than good business practices.
That's right. There was a lot of spending going on. A lot of sluggish capital came out of 401ks and got invested in dot-coms.
Yep.
And so the spending level was very high, and lots of people for a while had jobs. Imports, of course, soared because we didn't make that much stuff here. We had to get it from the rest of the world. And it was a hot time. So no surprise that we're down a couple million jobs out of 140 million total employed. No surprise we're down a couple million from 2000. The politicians will love it, of course, the ones that want to run against the Republicans. But, you know, the way to find out how we're doing is really to draw a trend line, you know, through the growth of the economy and, say, for the decade of the 90s. And then you find that we're really doing quite well. We're really on trend.
Right. Yeah. What are some of the things that the small business owners told you in this survey this month? What are some of the things that they were the most concerned about?
Well, no surprise, top of the list is still the cost and availability of insurance. That's remaining a real problem. I think 24% of our members this time picked that as the number one business problem that they have right now. It's just like a tax. You're really not getting any more product for your money, but it's much more expensive, so it falls right to the bottom line, takes your money, your operating money away, and that's very difficult.
Well, the other thing about the insurance is it's not only a problem today this year. It's been a problem for a number of years now. We've had double digit increases each year over the last 3 to 4 years. But the other thing is it's such a stark contrast between other things that we buy. Many of the other things we buy, the prices are actually leveling off or coming down. And so it actually is more of a contrast. It's not only a solid increase that we're having to pay for, but it's also just really shocking the difference between that expense and other expenses.
Right, and it's really there are really two pieces at work here. One is health care, which is just continues to rise in cost, just kind of gradually, because we keep finding all this new stuff that people want, and it gets included in the insurance, and so it's very expensive.
Right.
And then the other, of course, is all the related kind of property casualty liability insurance, which is soaring right now because of what happened in 9/11 and related incidents. Also, the weather terrorist problems have cost a lot of reserves from the insurance companies. So they're forced to rebuild. So we're looking for, 15% increases in premiums overall for all kind of insurance this year and, say, only 5% next year. So some of it will abate next year, but right now, painful.
We've already had some pretty significant losses due to storms, hail damage, if nothing else. I mean, a lot of expense through hail damage on automobiles and roofs and things like that.
Some cities have been wiped out. We've lost 40, 50 people. We've lost 40, 50 lives from tornadoes and so on. It's very sad.
And it's supposed to be a pretty tough hurricane year, too, apparently, pretty active hurricane
year. They're predicting that. So, those are all difficulties that... because you're losing assets there. You had a building, now you don't have a building.
Right.
And we have to rebuild it. It creates a few jobs to rebuild it, but still it's an asset loss that's difficult for the economy.
Poor sales is number two this month, but that's not something. Poor sales hasn't always been at the top of the list, has it?
No, that's right. It's been it's only been kind of higher in the list, for the last year or two. And of course, a big part of that problem really comes from the fact that sales is price times quantity. And again, we had a net 0% of our firms able to raise prices. So even though the quantity you're selling might be going up, by the time you multiply by a smaller price, a falling price, your total revenues aren't going anywhere. That's what they're complaining about here. Revenues are not growing. And so it's hard to make the bottom line work well for you if you can't raise some prices.
Well, and with revenues not growing, but things like fuel and insurance going up, then that makes it tough on the bottom line, very tough on the bottom line. We're going to come back and talk about this some more with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist with the National Federation of Independent Business. That's NFIB.com. Stay with us.
If that streets are running, then try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back at 7 till. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest and our good friend, and we're talking about the things that are on the concern list of small business owners, what keeps them up at night. First was insurance of all kinds. The second thing that one of their big problems was poor sales. But still, even with all these things that are concerning them, Bill, you guys reported that people were more optimistic this time, and... Do you feel like it was that the optimism this time was a reaction to the war, to the positive news from the war?
Well, that could very well be. I've argued that the war didn't have much of an impact on the real economy, that we're kind of where we would be, without the war, because we had that boom, and it's you have to have a slow period after a boom like that. But, obviously there had to be some war effects, I could never, speaking to over 1,000 small business people over the first quarter, I could never find people who would at least say that they, were holding back on spending because of war issues. There are other issues, and that was the spending was never back strong and so on and so forth, and that's kept people from moving ahead. But obviously, we had a real decline in March for whatever reason. You noted that consumer sentiment matched that. We had a decline in consumer sentiment as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then a rebound in April. And, of
a
course, if you once the expectations for the future improve, then, of course, your plans to hire and so on all have to improve with it. If you really think your sales are going up, you got to hire some more people.
Right. Well,
inventory, you know.
Let's tick off a few more of these, and then I want to ask you some questions about the capital spending issues. The third one was taxes. We got to like that. We may not like the numbers, but we got to like the trend, because we're probably going to get a my experts tell me, Bill, that we're going to get a $450 billion tax cut.
Well, you know, we might get one. Of course, that's 400. You know, I hate these 10-year numbers. That's only $45 billion a year over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And 45. The fall in oil prices is giving us more of a tax cut than that.
Right.
So really, it's, you know, those people are up there arguing over nothing. $45 billion out of $2.3 trillion in revenue this year.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
And but I like it if they change the, you know, marginal tax rates, because that changes incentives and that'll be good. So,
well, Bill, as I've said many times on this show, we may not like the numbers, but we got to like the trend.
That's it.
You know, eventually it adds up. What about capital spending? That's the big complaint right now. That's the big problem we got right now. Businesses are still refusing to spend money for capital. They've got the cash. Profits are rebounding. They got cash. Most companies have plenty of cash, and profits are definitely rebounding. But why aren't they spending money?
Well, again, it's really that hangover from the 1995 to 2000 period, when we spent tons of money on capital equipment, and even our small business people had their capital spending boom. Our capital spending numbers peaked in 2000, along with the big boys, and so we just have lots of stuff, and then the economy has been growing slowly since then. So the capacity we put in place hasn't been utilized yet, and you don't. And then, if you think the economy is going to grow slowly, you know, you're in really no hurry to add your capacity to build a new loading dock.
But Bill, it's been
system.
It's been 2.5 years since the fourth quarter 2000 door slamming on capital spending. Isn't it about time for some of that stuff to start wearing out?
Well, it is, and it either wears out or becomes obsolete.
Right.
But it's very gradual. If you talk to the people in the, you know, kind of the chip industry, the people who use all the chips and stuff, it's picking up. Motorola's reporting good numbers, for example. You know, so okay numbers. I mean, the point is that they're starting to be on the plus side, and they see some growth. And so sales are picking up, and they'll continue to pick up as we move forward, and that'll add some juice to the economy, which is good, but it's still not enough, you know, to make them run out and build another $4 billion fab.
Bill, in the minute we've got left, talk to us about deflation. The Fed is now turning its head in earnest away from inflation concerns to deflation concerns.
Yeah, I think the Fed's comment that a further decline in the inflation rate would be unwelcome was always saying, we don't want deflation. We're running a very low rate now,
right.
Inflation rate, and that's very good. It's, deflation just turns the tables on us. We've spent 30 years learning how to do business in an inflationary world.
Right.
We've brought the inflation rate down gradually, and that's been very good. So, you know, so we haven't had any serious adjustments to make. But, excuse me, but to shift into a period in which, you know, all the debt that you have now gets repaid with more expensive dollars rather than less expensive. I mean, the whole capital structure of our industry is based on having some inflation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you made the debt decisions versus equity decisions that you made.
Right.
You know, deflation would turn that all upside down and create a lot of difficulties, and, you know, we don't need any more difficulties.
Yeah. Bill Duckenberg, well done, well said. Thank you very much for being here with us. And we'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Bill Duckenberg, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB, chief economist with the NFIB. He'll be back next month. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.